There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always-on-the-verge-of-death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone, up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard, so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan. Additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Everybody, welcome back to the Sixer Sense Podcast. I'm your host, Lucas, with Chris, and we are recording after the Sixers, I can't believe I'm saying this, but fourth win in a row this season. What is going on, Chris?
Yeah, so last time we recorded, we talked about how the season was over, and it was time for the Sixers to tank, and how all hope was lost, and everything sucks.
A lot can change in a week.
Now they've won four straight.
This is a really weird one for us. We don't know what to do. Or do we?
It's a very funny team that we cover here, Lucas. They do some funny things.
They do.
I don't think either of us expected to have so many positive things to talk about.
Right.
Four wins without Joel Embiid, without Paul George for some of them. Like, just really the Tyrese Maxey show, which we'll talk more about. But before we get to that, Lucas, I think it's the only Commanders and Sixers fan other than Josh Harris. You might need to comment on a certain event that happened over the weekend. I'd like to get your thoughts.
We'll be back next year.
Uh-huh. Okay, fair enough. Yeah, 55-23, Eagles.
Is this an Eagles podcast or a Sixers podcast?
Seven rushing touchdowns, guys. Saquon Barkley, good at football, I would say. But yeah. Okay, let's talk about basketball. You know who's good at basketball, Lucas?
Tyrese Maxey, apparently.
Tyrese Maxey. 132-129. Let's rewind back to the Cleveland game here for a little bit, Lucas. 29 for Maxey in that game. 30 points, 5 boards for Paul George, one of his better performances this season. Cleveland had 7 losses all year going into this game. They've been the best team in the NBA pretty much from the jump, Lucas.
Mm-hmm.
No Joel,
no problem.
A lot of other guys out due to injury, no Drummond. Sixers win by 3 in a really impressive, hard-fought win. What were your big takeaways from this one?
Well, first off, maybe, and we'll talk more about this, but Tyrese Maxey, he carried this team to a win against a really good team, arguably the best team. Paul George looked like Paul George, like he's supposed to. Kelly Oubre doing his best Josh Hart impersonation in this game. Look, Justin Edwards, and I don't think we need to, I don't know if we can praise Justin Edwards enough. Can we? Is it even possible? Like, this kid is fantastic. 15 points off the bench in 26 minutes, 6 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 steals, 1 block. Was a -9, but that does the plus minus doesn't even recognize how impactful he has been on this team. He's been a positive force ever since joining from the Bluecoats. Adam Bona, really good game from him. You know, limited minutes, but you know what, was productive. +5. You could argue this was Yabu's worst, you know, one of his worst shooting nights of the year, but he still had 12 points, 13 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 blocks at like a 6-7 center. So like. Shout out to him. Eric Gordon turning back the clock. I didn't think anybody expected that. That's probably another big reason why this run has been successful, too. So Anyway, look, it's not like the, like, you know, obviously they were missing Evan Mobley, which is going to make a difference, but we were also missing Joel Embiid, so, you know, and Andre Drummond. So, like, you know, tit for tat on that one.
Yeah, no, I agree with everything you said. The Mobley thing is notable, but like you said, we haven't been healthy all season, so I don't think it's really much of a, you know, I don't think it's any less impressive for Philly to come out victorious in this game. Cleveland is a very deep and balanced team. Paul George has had some pretty solid games lately when he's healthy. So, mm-hmm. like, I think there's some encouraging signs there. Tyrese has been one of the best guards players really in the NBA this month. Like, he's really taken it to another level. He's getting
back. He really wants to make that All-Star game.
He really does. I believe they showed the graphic tonight that he is the second leading scorer in the NBA since January 6th. So
I believe that.
He's putting up some points, averaging, I think, 31.6 in that span.
Mm.
Yeah, he's playing really well. And Philly feels kind of like a whole new team all of a sudden, even without with all these guys missing. Like, this is still nowhere close to a healthy team. Embiid continues to be out for a mysterious and undetermined period of time, though he has been working out recently in full uniform before games, maybe trying to make a point. Yeah, I mean, this was just a really impressive win against a really, really good team. Like you said, Yabu didn't shoot all that well, but did all the other things at a really high level. People have talked about it ad nauseum, but it's going to be really tough losing this guy in the offseason. Like, we can hope and pray that Philly finds a way to pay him. They're not going to be able to. He's going to make a good bit of cash on that next
contract.
Unless
we're willing to go into luxury, so... I mean, the second
they just don't have, like, the bird rights. He's a minimum
contract.
Oh, that's
right. We don't have the bird rights. Oh, yeah, no.
So, yeah, there's really no
way
to keep
him
around.
We don't even have early bird rights on him yet.
No, so.
Well, you know.
You can't trade the guy. It just can't happen. It may be logical, though, after this run. Maybe not. It's maybe less logical. They're clearly
still
trying.
We'll talk about it in a little bit. We'll
win,
talk about it.
But.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been awesome. Justin Edwards, like you said, has just been such a find. Again, this is like a five-star top recruit who people thought might be the number one pick not so long ago. So for him to be playing this well is really exciting. I frankly was not a huge fan of him at Kentucky. I thought there was a reason he went from potential number one pick to undrafted, but he seems to be finding his groove here in Philly. He's doing all the role player things that I like. He's a really solid defender already. He's hitting threes. He's doing exactly what the Sixers need with so many guys out. It'll be interesting to see how his role holds up once everyone's healthy, if everyone ever gets healthy. But he's been super impressive, like you said. I think he's a real find. And yeah, man, like, this team just feels different all of a sudden. This was the start of it. This was a really good win against a really good team who has not taken its foot off the gas pedal much this year. Cleveland is going to be the number one seed in the East. They could very well be in the NBA Finals. Like, this is a really, really good team. So even without Evan Mobley, like, this is a really impressive victory, Lucas. Let's go to the next game. This right on the heels of that game, they traveled to Chicago, a 109-97 win, another pretty impressive performance all around. Paul George took a step back in this game, got hurt, obviously. Maybe not a step back, but he got hurt.
Is it a hyperextended finger, or is it a broken finger? We don't really know. They haven't told us.
The Sixers can't really tell us things. Had 9 points in 13 minutes, but Maxey, 31, 9 assists. One of his better games all season. 22 for Oubre with 12 boards and 3 dimes. He has been playing really well of late as well.
I remember seeing a quote somewhere where he says he's been studying Josh Hart on how they impact the game outside of scoring, and seems to be translating here.
Good, yeah. I mean, that's been the knock on Oubre for the longest time, is that he's just kind of a one-note scorer. Mm-hmm. And he's really bought in this year to doing some smaller things. He's setting screens, he's not a great passer, but he's moving the ball more, letting the main guys be the main guys.
Rebounding.
He's playing really solid defense. Like, the defense is legit. So he deserves a ton of credit. 12 off the bench this game for Reggie Jackson in just 15 minutes. Ricky Council got in there. He's been doing some good stuff lately. just a really solid night from all the guys that we need to see solid nights from. Chicago, okay, not a great team, but a team Philly is chasing in the standings for that play-in tournament position. Seems like that's where Philly's going now. I think the tank is off at the moment.
Yeah, the tank is off. Look, Chicago, they made this a game for, especially in the third quarter. They got, you know, Chicago, they have pieces. I feel like they need to move on from Billy Donovan. Not to say that he's a bad coach. I just think he's worn out his stay there. And they need to move on from those veterans. Look, if we could get Lonzo Ball this offseason, that would be like a steal. I would love that next to Maxey. But we'd, you know, if health can prevail.
I mean, I saw earlier this week that Windhorst was talking about Lonzo as a potential buyout candidate. So if no one trades for that $20 million contract, Chicago could buy him out in theory. I guess Philly might not be able to. I'm not up to date on all my CBA stuff. But if
I think as long as we're not in the second apron, we can still afford him.
So, yeah, I'd be very down for that. I think Lonzo still has a lot of good stuff to offer. And I don't want him in Cleveland because that would not be good.
No, I wouldn't like to see him there. Look, another great game from Tyrese. Like you said, Kelly had a great game. Reggie had a great game. And despite Justin Edwards not shooting well at all in this game, he still had 3 assists and was a plus 14, the second highest only behind Kelly Oubre. So, like, look, the guy's impactful. Let's be clear on this. And, you know, this team has just found its groove, which we'll talk about more later. I don't really have too much else to say. You know, Eric Gordon had another good game shooting. I guess he's just found his groove. Got to give Eric Gordon his credit on that one because we both thought he was washed. Yeah, that's about it. I think we can, unless you wanted to add anything, we can keep on moving this.
No, train. Yeah, good points. I just want to make mention again that Chicago is, I think, currently in that 10th seed.
Yeah,
they are. Philly's go. You know, Chicago, trade deadline's about a week away, a little bit more than a week.
They owe their pitchers.
Levine, good chance those guys aren't on the team in a week. So,
sounds like Vucevic could be to Golden State. I think I would like him in L.A. more, honestly, but that's just me.
Seems like that's not going to happen based on the latest reporting.
No. Like, Anthony Davis really wants a center there, and they just – I get that AD puts up better stats as a center, but they won a championship with him as power forward.
Yeah. The report I saw today was that they think Vooch and – Pirtle in Toronto cost too much and that they're focusing on Miles Turner now, which sure, go for it, I guess.
Miles isn't on the market though. They need him.
He is.
Is he really?
Well, they gonna play last center? Year of his contract, they don't want to pay him $30 million plus.
Yeah, I just Indiana's on a good thing, but okay, whatever.
Yeah, you know, can't, you know, that's an ownership problem.
That's a small market problem there.
Okay.
Well, we'll talk about that more later.
Lakers.
Yeah.
Lakers.
Bronny James got to play in the first half. Was it weird seeing J.J. Redick coach against us after he played for us? It felt weird to me.
Yeah, it's been something I've kind of had to just get used to all season, seeing him coaching. It's different.
How do you think Shake Milton feels to see his, like, vet coach him now? How do you think that makes the Shake feel?
I don't know. I'm sure he enjoys it. It seems like they like JJ.
And didn't Jackson Hayes also play with JJ in New Orleans?
I think so.
Gosh, JJ's, like, played with half these guys. That's kind of weird.
He's podcasted with LeBron. Yeah, 118-104, pretty dominant Sixers win, Lucas. It was a tightly contested first quarter. Mm-hmm. Then Philly blew the doors off in the second quarter. Notably, Anthony Davis hurt early in this one, only logged 10 minutes.
Yeah.
That's going to be a really big problem for LA, and it obviously opened the door pretty wide for Philly to take control of this game. But 31 for LeBron in the loss. Philly's side of things, Tyrese Maxey, 43 points, 3 boards, 2 assists, had a really special performance. Another 20-point game for Kelly Oubre, 14 for Eric Gordon, 14 for Gershon, who had 4 steals on the defensive end. Justin Edwards, 7 points, 4 boards, 3 assists, 3 steals in 29 minutes. Just stuffing the stat sheet, doing a lot of little things really well. 16 off the bench in this one for Ricky Council. Hit three threes, had seven boards, two steals. We'd like to see it. Not much else from the bench in this game, at least offensively. But
I like really defensive effort of Kyle Lowry and Adam Bono.
Yeah, but Bono's been playing really well these past few games. Lowry has been picking it up a little bit. He's still nice to have out there, I think. And yeah, this was three straight, Lucas. This was a pretty resounding win at home against the playoff team in the West. A lot of Eagles on the sidelines. Sorry to bring it up again, but
I'm over it. Look, I'm over it. Look, we're going to have a lot of people coming to DC, so you know it is what it is. But anyway, just another dominant win, like you said. Kelly had 20 and 8. Like, I don't think, like, Eric Gordon and Kelly Oubre have been, like, big factors in this turnaround, too. Like, that just, you know, Eric Gordon finally finding his shooting rhythm. Kelly, you know, being a, you know, rebounder, playmaker, defender, you know, doing all the little stuff and letting offense come to him naturally. The emergence of Justin Edwards. Yabu, despite being, like, 3 inches shorter than the average center, just, like, bodying him. Like, it's great. I love it. Ricky, like you said, big game for him. Bona, pretty good game, too. There's not much else to write home here. I mean, look, LeBron James and the Lakers can't defend. They can't defend because, you know, Austin Reeves can't defend, LeBron can't defend, and if Anthony Davis is out there, well, they can't defend anything. So,
Lakers in a tough spot without Davis. Absolutely. That brings us to Wednesday night, the night that we are recording. This was the second night of a back-to-back, Lucas, at home, hosting the Sacramento Kings, who have been in the news lately with a certain point guard.
We'll talk about later.
Not requesting a trade, but being put on the market, so to speak. He had 19 points, De'Aaron Fox I'm talking about. 8 rebounds, 5 assists on 7 of 15 shooting in this game. Pretty solid performances all around for Sacramento's starting five, but they got very little from the bench, and Philly just outplayed them again, Lucas. Sacramento was down at halftime, came out of the gate in the third quarter really strong, put a good scare into us, I would say. I was, like, kind of willing to accept a loss on the second night of a back-to-back against a good team with maybe something to prove with all the Fox stuff. They don't have Paul George in this game. They don't have Joel. It's like, it is what it is. And then Philly punched back, which was not something they did very often early in the season, and seems to kind of signal this shift in momentum that we're talking about. 30 for Maxey, 8 assists. He continues to play really, really well. 15 for Kelly, 14 for Eric Gordon, who had a great first half. 9 apiece for Edwards and Gershon. They've been playing small, and it's working. 13 off the bench for Council. And Kyle Lowry had a really good game himself, got to the line a few times, hit 3 threes, had 8 assists. Maybe his best performance of the season, Lucas.
Yeah.
What were your takeaways from this game?
First off, I just want to say my favorite play of the game was, I believe it was in the third quarter or possibly fourth. Adam Bona got a drop off from Maxey, and he tried to drive it and just two-hand dunk it over, who was it? Was it,
I think it was Trey Lyles.
Trey Lyles, and like, he got called for an offensive foul, but if he would have made that, oh my gosh, I would have gone crazy. That being said, Bona's slowly becoming one of my favorites. You know, another dominant, like, same formula, different stats. I mean, look, Maxey was dominant. Gordon made his threes. Kelly did everything else. Justin Edwards and Yabu did their thing. Kyle, like you said, was turned back the clock a little bit here with his shooting. And Ricky. Ricky did Ricky things. Like, I don't know what else you want me to say. It's fantastic. Reggie played great, too. I don't know. Like, they had a convincing – they've had a couple – like, every team that they beat in this run is above 500. That's the – well, no, not the Bulls, but, like, everybody else. So, you know, 3 out of 4 teams are above 500. That's impressive. That is not a sign of a team that's tanking as we thought they were. So
no, I mean, these are good wins. Again, like, the Bulls are the only team below 500, but they're a team that Philly is actively chasing in the standing. So 4 really good wins in a row. This is their second 4-game win streak of the season. The last one came when Embiid was healthy for a brief moment in time. Like, this is really impressive to do this again without Joel, without Paul George for a couple nights. Like, really solid stuff from Philly. Again, like, you would think Sacramento might have something to prove in this game with all the Fox stuff. Fox in particular, said he's not going to quit on his team. Like, but I mean, Philly just, again, yeah, punched back in after that third quarter run and really controlled the fourth quarter almost all the way through. So, really impressive win, a series of really impressive wins, and all of a sudden, like, we feel pretty good about this team for the first time maybe all season. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, let's move on. I'm going to whoosh it.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always on the verge of death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone. Up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan. Additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So yeah, Chris, let's go ahead and talk about this, because like, when you think about it, the Sixers went from a team that should tank now to a team that, you know what, maybe they should be competitive. And I think it all starts, you know, has this team figured it out? Has the team figured out how to win without Joel? Mainly, has Maxey figured it out? Has Maxey figured out a way to win without Joel? We've said it most of the season that Maxey's a number two. He can't win without Joel. He does better with Joel, but this recent run says otherwise. So do you think Maxey has figured out the formula?
Yeah, it certainly seems that way. He had a really nice interview lately where he was basically talking about a phone call he had with his mom, where he was like, she just said my energy wasn't great early in the season. I seemed down. And she, you know, Maxey obviously loves his mom. Maxey is one of the most like likable, lovable people in sports right now. He's like, she got my energy right, and ever since that phone call I've just been playing better. And yeah, I mean, he's again been one of the best guards in the league this month, and maybe it's too late for an all-star push, but he's playing more like an all-star now than he was earlier in the season. Philly's
all-star is out of the question, but all NBA,
I mean, if he keeps this up for the rest of the season, it's definitely in the cards. Mm-hmm. Philly keeps winning games with or without Joel. It's in the cards. And yeah, I mean, it seems like he's figured it out. He's just shooting better, but he's playing with more confidence. He's getting into the teeth of the defense, doing the things that he does best. And like, you got to credit everyone else too, of course. Like, it's a team sport, obviously, and the entire ecosystem has been better. Like, everyone has elevated their craft around Maxey, and that has helped quite a bit to set the stage. The offense has been moving more. We're finding Maxey in better spots. It's not quite as ISO heavy as it was at times early in the
season.
Shout
out to Nick Nurse for figuring that out.
Yeah, like, Nurse has been coaching a lot better lately.
And he's been figuring out what lineups work.
Yeah, someone famously said fire Nick Nurse on the last podcast.
I mean, at the time, I think it was warranted, and I will not back down.
Yeah. No, it was. It was definitely a valid take, and it's been one that's been percolating for a while. But they are figuring it out, and that starts with Maxey. He's been their best, most available player all season, really. But now he's playing like a best player on a good team. And yes, that's what Philly has needed with all these injuries. Like, he's their youngest guy. He's their most durable, historically. Star. Like, yeah, he plays a lot of minutes. He plays a lot of games. And they've needed this from him, and he's finally delivering.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so I guess the last question here in this part is, when Joel comes back, do you think he can adjust to the new ecosystem? Or do you think we go back to Joel Ball? Like, how do we adjust when Joel does eventually come back, assuming he does?
I don't know. You obviously build your offense around Joel. Like, when he has played this season, for the most part, he has still been a pretty clear best player on the floor and a dominant force who can lead to wins. So you have to build around Joel because he's that kind of player. I think he is the ecosystem when this team is healthy, as he should be. I think all good teams are built around their stars and catered to their stars. Like, that's not something that's unique to Joel in Philadelphia. I think Tyrese has proven plenty of times that he can coexist and thrive off of Joel. I don't think that's going to be a problem. Maybe certain role players are going to have to cut back on their shot diets, mainly Kelly probably, but I don't think that's going to be an issue. If Joel is healthy, that'll be great. Like, that'll help Philly win more consistently and kind of keep this momentum going. He seems to maybe be inching closer to a return. We don't have a lot of concrete details on him, unfortunately, or really on Paul George at this point, but seems like we're getting close to Joel return. He's doing handstands in practice, and again, he's like doing warm-ups in full uniform. So he's, you know, we've covered Joel long enough to know that he does these things to maybe send a message. So seems like he's close, and I think that'll be really good. I don't foresee that being an issue. You know, we can revisit this if it is an issue, but historically, I think Joel is going to be the center point of the offense because he's that kind of player. And I think they can keep all this up, all the ball movement, all the off-ball stuff that's been working so well these past few games. I don't think that has to go away with Joel. I think you can implement that into an offense that still runs primarily through Joel Embiid. So I don't think that's going to be a problem. Hopefully it's not, but we'll see.
Well, we talked about the Sixers not tanking, but like, the question is now, should they be buyers or sellers at the trade deadline? And I'm going to let you take this one.
Okay, trade deadline, Lucas. I want to start with the Jimmy Butler stuff, just quickly, because
it's been in the news for a while.
We have to because of the what Vincent Goodwill said in a podcast recently. Who's
Vincent Goodwill? I don't know who that is.
He is a reporter at Yahoo. He is the guy who, before the season, said that Philly, that Joel Embiid wanted Jimmy Butler and was pushing for it behind the scenes. And then, you know, obviously Miami did not engage at the time. But he said on a podcast, I'll pull up the quote right now. Quote, "I've heard that Philly quietly could be a suitor for Jimmy Butler. Theoretically, it would be a Jimmy for Paul George swap. I believe that Embiid is pushing for them to reacquire Jimmy." Now, this has obviously been a through line of his reporting since the preseason. He's also the only person reporting it now. So maybe take it with a grain of salt. But Miami did lower its price for Jimmy Butler. I wouldn't put it past Daryl Morey to do something insane and outside the box. I wouldn't really put it past Pat Riley either. It does seem like Miami wants shorter-term contracts so they can open up cap space.
That's the tricky part.
But we also know that Pat Riley is nearing the end of his NBA tenure and wants to win. And if this isn't going to happen, it probably won't. But the fact that it's being talked about in official circles at least merits a mention. Again, like, Miami is very clearly...
I know we entertained it like a month ago, but I'm just not interested in it now. I'm not.
Yeah. That's fair.
Jimmy's just a little bit too toxic now. It's just, no, I'm good.
That's fair. The toxic part is definitely, like, for a team that has been through so much turnover in the Joel Embiid era, getting a guy who famously, like, forces his way off teams is questionable. Obviously, he's in the last year of his contract with a player option for next year worth $52 million. That's another variable that Philly would have to contend with. But Jimmy and Joel are very good friends. And maybe, you know, friendship is all that we need. But it's worth mentioning. But Lucas, you wanted to talk about buying and selling. Four straight wins puts Philly at 19-27 on the season. They are now just a game behind Chicago for the 10th seed, that last play-in tournament spot. They are four games behind the 8th-seeded Pistons, certainly within striking distance. Miami in that 6th seed, 23-22. they could be taking a step back soon. Maybe, maybe not. Obviously, Jimmy really hasn't been around much, but we'll see what they get back. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Orlando's been falling. Indiana might trade Miles Turner. The Hawks just lost Jalen Johnson. The Bulls are going to trade everyone. Seems like some spots might open up here, Lucas.
It'd be cool.
Yeah. What do you think? I feel like we're inching closer to buy mode here if this win streak continues.
Yeah, it does feel like a buy mode. And look,
yeah.
Who's known for making more deals in the NBA during the last like 15 years? It's Daryl Morey. Look, so it's probably gonna be buy. Daryl Morey does not want to sell. There's not too so like you know you could put together some contracts like Caleb Martin, maybe Andre Drummond if you really like what you see from Bana and Yabu. You know, stuff like that. You could make some stuff happen and make go for like a mid-tier guy here. So like it's not impossible.
Yeah,
we're not getting Cam Johnson. It's not happening.
No.
Get that out of your head. We don't have the money.
No, we don't. But like you said, they have some good contracts that they can put into some of these deals. Like I think the KJ Martin contract
mm-hmm.
has aged very well. Like even with the second year, potentially like that's good value for what he's done this season when he's healthy. Same for Kelly, like Kelly on an $8 million deal.
Without he's trading Kelly at this point, like with this win streak, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, it would depend on what you're getting, but they have some good pieces to move. They don't have as many picks to trade, but they have some tradable picks.
Yeah.
I think they will be buyers. Daryl is historically very aggressive. If they think Joel can get back healthy for the second half of the season, that may be naive, but might as well go for it. They're really not doing their lottery odds any favors right now. So if they're not going to tank, they might as well try to win. So
yeah,
I would expect them to at least not sell. Like, I think Gershon's going to stick around.
Mm-hmm.
I think probably Kelly's going to stick around unless they get a really good piece back. So I don't think they're going to sell.
No, I agree. Now, the question is, who do you buy for? Well, let's talk about the positions of need. What are the top two positions of need in your opinion?
I wouldn't mind a better backup point guard, quote unquote. I don't know how much you can trust Kyle at this point.
Or Reggie.
I'm fine with facing Reggie out of the rotation. Like, if you can get a good backup point guard, maybe take some responsibilities off of Kyle's plate, I think that would be reasonable. It would probably be a rental. You get McCain back next season, but I wouldn't mind another really solid guard to kind of ease some of the burden that's on Maxi's shoulders right now.
Well, you know, McCain's probably going to be starting next year too. That's the other part that we got to consider. But yeah, no.
But it's, if you're like renting for half a season, I wouldn't mind.
But the question is, like, who's a cheap point guard that's good on rental? You know, maybe you could get. The Portland guys are too expensive. Like, you're not going to be able to afford Anthony Simons, right? I don't know. Maybe you call Orlando for like Cole Anthony, or if you want a spark plug, or you know, maybe you I don't know. There are options. I'm sure. I'm just not great at thinking of them at the moment.
Yeah. No.
Anybody in mind that you were thinking of?
I think Cole Anthony's an interesting one. You got guys like Micic in Charlotte, who was once a Sixers draft pick once upon a time.
Yeah.
Was in Europe for a long time, but he's been playing pretty well in Charlotte. They're not a winning team. Like, you got a few guys you can go after. But yeah, really, like, need-wise, you could cast a pretty wide net. I wouldn't mind another solid two-way wing. I wouldn't mind another, like, maybe a better backup center than Andre Drummond if there's one out there, you know, that kind of thing. So,
yeah.
It depends on what's available, really. But
Yeah. I think backup center, backup point guard, I like our wing depth, like KJ, Caleb, when they get back, when we still have Edwards and we still have, you know, Kelly, and Ricky's been playing good despite, you know, the little problems with shooting with him. But, like, overall, the wing depth, you know, maybe like a bigger four, maybe. It depends on, like, but Yabu can play the four. That's the thing. Like, he's pretty versatile. I wouldn't mind seeing more of him and Joel next to each other. I guess it just depends on the matchup. You know, whenever we play Boston, we have to play Caleb Martin, though. That's clearly a thing. Yeah, no. So, like, a backup center, you know, I don't know really who could, you know, maybe if Kayvon Looney became available, I'd be interested in him. Or I'm trying to think of backup centers. Maybe, I don't know, maybe what's his face from New York, if they would be willing to trade him to us. Mitch Robinson, you know, if he's healthy, maybe that works. Maybe, maybe not. I don't know, maybe Beef Stew, you know. He's had an interesting
I don't year. Want Beef Stew, man. I'm tired of that
you
guy.
You don't want that energy? You don't want that I Rasheed don't want Wallace that energy?
I think it can be too much.
It might be too much. Who knows? He might punch somebody again.
I don't think I quite rock with Beef Stew at this okay. point. But
okay. But you get what I'm saying. Like, there are options for backup center out there. Maybe Robert Williams. You know, maybe that's a guy to look at. But point guard wise, you know, there's Cole Anthony is definitely a name that I'm interested in. How much is he making this year? Because he's on his extension now. He's on his rookie extension now, right?
That's a good question.
Because if he's making like 15 mil, I don't want to pay that.
He is making, drum roll please, $12.9 million.
Oh, that's a little bit too rich for my blood.
Yeah, I mean, with the way the league's like salary cap is going, I think it's a pretty reasonable number. But
I guess
it would be hard. Philly would have to put a few salaries together, so it might be tough for us specifically.
I mean,
they're probably gonna look to add pieces. I think the buyout market could be interesting if guys think we're going to start winning here. If Joel comes back in time and we start looking good, we might be able to tempt someone like Alonzo Ball to sign here.
Lonzo would be my dream scenario if we got a buyout and if the CBA allows it, because like you need a big playmaking guard next to Maxey to take off some of that, but also somebody that can play off the ball and that's in defend, and that's Lonzo. And like, you know, despite getting like some other guys, you know, meniscus, he's been looking pretty good, all things considered, this season. Is he like where he was prior injury? No, but like he's close. Defensively, he's close, and he still has the IQ. So, you know, definitely a guy to keep an eye on. All right, well, let's get to around the NBA. Chris, what are you going to talk about first?
That whoosh. We've already mentioned De'Aaron Fox here. That's what you want to talk about. That's kind of what I want to talk about as well.
Well, let's just dive into it, and then if anything else pops up, we'll go into it. Look, De'Aaron Fox, you know, the Sacramento Kings have opened up the floodgates of taking calls for De'Aaron Fox. And apparently, according to Shams, it's been dozens and dozens of teams, you know, calling about him, and rightfully so. Like, if he was on a better team, you know, he'd probably have a few more all-star notches underneath his belt. Let's be clear. He doesn't, therefore he does not. But the guy's, you know, he's a clutch guy. He's an okay, good enough three-point shooter. Super athletic, super quick, good defender. He's going to be on everybody's top wish. He's honestly probably the biggest name on the trade market right now.
I have a few takes on the whole Fox thing. Obviously, his reported preferred destination is San Antonio. I get it. Like,
it makes a lot of sense.
That should be his, like, you want to lock yourself up next to Wimby, who's going to be a generational talent for the next decade. That's just smart. Wimby needs a good point guard. Like,
it's interesting that Clutch is willing to send a guy out to San Antonio.
Well, he doesn't want to go to LA. Like, nobody, they've kind of taken up all their slots in LA. There's only so many big markets out there. Wimby, again, is just an amazing. Wimby's going to be one of the three or four best players in the world for the next decade. Like, it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Just hitch onto that wagon, so to speak. I think that makes sense for Fox. He shouldn't want to go to San Antonio. I don't know if there are clearly a lot of other teams that are interested. The reporting from Houston, according to Mark Stein, is that they want to kind of see this thing through and see how this core does in the playoffs. They've been playing really well lately. Amen Thompson looks like a star. Jalen Green's been shooting lights out for a month or two. I get that. But at the same time, OKC is also getting better. If you let Fox go to San Antonio, you have Wimby and Fox in the division for the next decade. Like, if I'm Houston and I have all these assets, I can go trade for Fox without giving up any member of my immediate core. You can keep Amen. You can keep Green. You can probably keep, like, a lot of these guys. Maybe Jabari.
I think the the thing that they're worried about is getting another star might hamper Amon's development.
I don't think that's an issue, and just because Amon's so good at really everything. Like, he's going to find a way to be a really high impact player.
Look, I just think that I think you do wait it out. Like, you know, unless Fox, you know.
Yeah.
I think you just wait it out. Let's see, like, what you have in a year. Because, like, does Jalen Green actually become consistent? Or does Amon take his spot as the second guy or the first guy?
That's
like,
fair. But like,
you want to see how this grows a little bit more.
I would trade Jalen Green for De'Aaron Fox in a heartbeat. If that's what
well,
it takes,
well, they take, can't do it. They can't do it until the offseason. They can't do it until the offseason.
Okay. But yeah, either way, I think Houston should knock around it.
I mean, you could talk about it, but like, I wouldn't give up too much. And like,
I would. He's De'Aaron Fox. He's really good.
I don't know. I like.
Here's my other take.
I'm more on the let's. We're ahead of Houston's ahead of schedule right now, so let's just, you know, if I'm Houston, I'm just gonna wait a little bit longer. You know, I'm not gonna rush something.
That's fair. Here's my other take. This is a bit hotter. People aren't talking about it, but they should be.
Okay.
Atlanta just lost Jalen Johnson. They don't own their pick. Their pick belongs right now to the San Antonio Spurs.
Yeah.
If you're the Spurs, Atlanta's postseason hopes just took a big hit.
Mm-hmm.
Johnson has been really important to their success.
He's been
this
their
year.
Second best player, arguably their best.
You have the Hawks pick, which is their next. This pick and their 2027 pick, I believe, which are
and
very
a pick
valuable.
Swap in 2026.
So, do I want De'Aaron Fox or do I want Trae Young? I kind of want Trae Young.
See, that's okay. So, this is the real question, right? Like, first off, you got to figure out which one fits their culture more, right? Like, who fits their culture more?
Okay. I don't think Young is a culture problem. I think that narrative that's maybe out there, I don't think that's like an issue with Trae.
Okay, well, anyway, even if you go past that point, what do you want? Whose game is – they're both in their mid to late – like transitioning to their late 20s, right? They're both like 26, 27, right? So the question is, like, whose game is going to age better with Webby? Is it going to be Trey's or is it going to be Fox's? Yes.
Trae.
Probably going to be Trey's, right? Because he doesn't rely on athleticism.
Trae, I know the percentages can be wacky because he takes some tough shots, but Trae is like an elite shooter with ridiculous range. He stretches a defense. He's one of the two or three best passers in the world. That two-man game with Wimby is going to be ridiculous. People aren't going to be able to defend that. Fox is amazing. He gets downhill. He's going to put pressure on the rim. His pull-up jumper has gotten better. And he's just not the same level of shooting threat that Trae is. Mm-hmm. As his athleticism declines, if we want to go 6-7 years into the future here, Trae's defense is always going to be a problem, but I'd rather have that offensive firepower. I think the offense is significantly better, and I think it's better suited.
Well, let's just
Wimby.
Do a mental hula hoops here. What would it take for you, San Antonio, to trade for Trae Young? Obviously, you have to send Atlanta all their picks back, right?
Sure, done.
You got to trade them picks. You got to trade them probably one or two of your own.
That's fine.
So around 5 picks, right? So that seems to be the asking
price. Spurs have 9 tradable first round
picks. I know. I'm just saying. Let's say it's just say 5 picks. Okay, then. But that's not going to be enough. You need to have, you know, the contract / players that would interest you. You're not trading Stephon Castle.
Yeah, you are. Castle is not that good. Castle is so overrated, guys. I'm sorry to say it. I liked Castle well enough as a prospect, but the idea that he's like some rookie of the year front runner or whatever.
He's not a front runner, but he's going to be like a Drew Holiday type of guy.
He's not.
He is.
Holiday can at least play offense. Like, Castle's been pretty rough on offense all year.
Castle's a rookie. Give him some slack, okay?
He is, but he's not good enough to where you're like, I'm not trading him for Trae Young. I think that's...
I think if you're San Antonio, you want to have a defensive guy next to Trae, and Stephon fits that perfectly, okay? Like, the question is like a package
that's
of, like, Jeremy Sochan and, you know, Keldon Johnson and whatever other salaries plus the picks going to be.
Give them Vassell, give them one other salary, and give them 3 or 4 first-round picks, including their own, and I think Atlanta says yes. And I do that in a heartbeat.
I don't know. Like, Atlanta was looking really good with Jalen Johnson and Trae Young. Why break it up?
Because Johnson's hurt. I don't know if that team is going anywhere. They don't have a ton of flexibility. Like,
Johnson will be
back. I feel like they needed an excuse to just blow it up. And I think this is that excuse. I think this is a good time to hit the reset button.
Does Landry Fields want to be, does Landry Fields, former player of the Knicks, want to be the guy that trades Trae Young?
And then, I don't think he cares about that. Like
I don't know.
The Hawks are the 9 seed right now with how great Trae and Jalen Johnson have been playing together. Like,
well, you still just have not a good rookie, enough. Rudy Shashe, you finally getting a Kongu as the starter.
Rudy Shashe's not that good. Like, we got to be honest. Rudy Shashe is a decent role player at his peak. Rudy Shashe is not a star who's going to take them to the next level. No one in this draft class was, from the looks of it, maybe.
They could have drafted McCain.
They need to trade Capella. Just trade Trae. Now's a great time to hit the reset button. I'd really be into that if I was San Antonio. And frankly, I think this is a good time for the Hawks to just.
I'm not going to say no, but it's definitely something that's going to be debated for sure.
Yeah, a lot of people don't like Trae. A lot of people have their doubts about him. I don't really understand it. I think he's underrated.
I think so. First off, for me, I'm going to tell you this: I'm not a Trae Young fan. I'm not. And it's not necessary for outside of that run to the conference finals, like against the, you know, wonky, that was a wonky path to get there, right? Especially through us, right? My thing with Trae Young is that he's never like, and I get that he takes hard shots, but you know what? You need to have the IQ not to always have to take those hard shots. Like he's inefficient. He's inefficient. And I remember watching him in college when Javon Carter, you know, the guy who's like buried on the Bulls bench right now, shut him down defensively. Okay. So like, I'm just like, you're a little bit overrated as a scorer. Like, honestly, I need you taking about, you know, 12 to 13 shots, not like 15 to 18 shots. Okay.
So, well, like, let's dig into that. A, college is very different from the NBA, and Trae's gotten better since then.
Sure.
Right now in Atlanta, he has more or less been the centerpiece since he's gotten there. DeJounte came in. It was a wonky fit. They didn't really play off each other very well. He's never played with anyone like Wemby. I think his shot volume probably goes down next to Wemby. I think, frankly, he's going to get more efficient, clean looks from deep with all the attention that Wemby draws when he goes towards the basket. I think that's a great setup for Trae, as much as it is a great setup for Wemby.
I'm not saying that he's not a good fit in San Antonio.
Like, Trae is going to feed Wemby so many good looks with his gravity, and I think it goes the other way. I think Wemby driving to the lane, getting post touches, like that's going to open up stuff for Trae too. I think his efficiency goes up in San Antonio. I think he can maybe take his foot off the gas pedal a little bit because you have a generationally good talent like Wembanyama next to him, which he just doesn't have in Atlanta. So, you know, De'Aaron Fox has never been to the conference finals. He's frankly had more talent around him consistently than Trae has. Like, I really think Trae is underrated. Like,
I'm not saying that he's not good.
Efficiency is a fair point, but the amount of attention that he demands because he is willing to take those deep threes is significant. It puts a lot of stress on a defense, and he's just such a brilliant playmaker. Like, the passing, you really can't say enough good things about him. The list of quote-unquote better passers is pretty much zero, and none of them really have their hand on the controls as much as Trae does. So I think it would be a really good fit.
I'm not saying that it wouldn't be a good fit, but let's just talk about, is there anybody else that we should be looking out at besides like Jimmy Butler, De'Aaron Fox? Zach LaVine's name has been tossed around a little bit more recently. LaVine's good. And you know what? Like, his contract doesn't look nearly as bad right now. Looks tradable.
Feels like the Bucks might be the team there.
Do you trade within the division? That's a tough pill to swallow there for. Like, what's the trade?
If you're Chicago,
what's the trade? They don't have any picks to trade to you, and you don't want Chris Middleton. So
you're not going to get a ton of picks back for Zach LaVine. I don't think that's. I think the Bulls are still in.
You have to get something of value back.
You're going to get Chris Middleton. You're going to get, or you're going to flip Middleton to a third team, and see what. You know, that kind of thing. It could be a thing where they get wrapped up into the Jimmy trade if he does somehow end up in Phoenix, or even if he goes to Golden State or somewhere else.
I've heard Beal could be in Chicago. I'm just like, no, let's not. Let's not do that.
I don't think that's going to happen. I think the report was that he doesn't want to go to Chicago, which, fair enough. But
weird that his college coach is there and he doesn't want to go there.
I think it said he didn't want to go to like a cold weather center, like a cold weather team.
Well, guess what? The cold weather teams are going to be the ones that are willing to take on your
team. I think he wants to be on a winning team. I think if you're losing and you're in the north, then you're off his list. I think that was more the vibe. So if you're a good cold weather team, he might be willing to consider it. Like
would you swap out Chris Middleton for Bradley Beal though?
I don't know. I'd be hesitant too,
because you know Middleton's starting to look like he's getting back to his form. He's still not starting yet, but like he could get there eventually.
It really feels like if Phoenix can't figure out this Beal thing, like Golden State and Milwaukee are probably the two biggest Jimmy Butler threats.
Mm-hmm.
Those seem like
I just don't like his fit in Milwaukee. There's just not enough spacing there.
I don't know. I mean, they got Dame and Brooke, and they got some shooters.
You're relying on guys in their mid to late 30s to be floor spacers.
Yeah, but they're already doing that.
I don't know. Also, I feel like Giannis and Jimmy would have a little bit of an alpha dog issue there.
I don't know. I feel like Giannis is a pretty chill guy.
He plays really hard.
I think Jimmy would respect Giannis's general disposition. I think the reporting today was that the only two teams not on his list, or like he's explicitly saying, I don't want to go to Sacramento and Memphis, which is weird because Memphis would be a pretty good spot for him. Golden State seems to be picking up momentum. Milwaukee seems to be lurking. I feel like those are the two teams we really need to be looking out for. Unless Phoenix can find someone to take Beal that Beal is happy with. But
that's the tricky part, right? So anyway, Beal for Trae Young. Why not?
Yeah, well, there you go. I'd like to throw it out. If I was Golden State, I'd be trading for Fox and not Jimmy Butler.
I guess you could play Fox.
You can. Come on. We're starting Jared McCain and Tyrese Maxey. You can play Steph and De'Aaron Fox together.
That brings up another, like, a what if. I don't think the Sixers would do this, but Paul George for De'Aaron Fox?
Fox is way more valuable than Paul George at this point.
Okay.
And we don't have the other stuff to add in there. I
guess the question is, what does the other question part of this is, like, what does Sacramento want? Do they want picks? Do they want young players? Do they want short-term salaries? Like, or do they want to stay competitive? Like, what's the goal? And what positioning do you want?
Is that they want win-now pieces and picks.
That's going to be tricky. That's going to be tricky.
I don't know. I mean, like, they can definitely get good solid rotation guys and picks.
Devin Carter at point guard because you traded Davion Mitchell and Tyrese Halliburton. Like, they're not there anymore.
If you trade him to San Antonio, you're probably getting either Trey Jones or Chris Paul back. If you trade him to Houston, you're probably getting Reed Shepherd, maybe Fred VanVleet.
Mm-hmm.
Like, depends on where they trade him, but I would imagine that they're going to try to get a point guard back in the trade.
Fair enough. All right, let's go ahead and wrap this up.
Okay. As always, everyone, thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Sixer Sense podcast. Please like, subscribe, and follow along if you can. We are on Spotify and Apple Podcast. You can follow me on Twitter at KleinNBA. You can follow Lucas at CoachJ_20. And you can follow us at Sixer Sense. We will be back soon to talk about hopefully more wins because we're winning now, apparently. Hopefully. And until then, go Sixers. Peace out. And we'll talk to you soon.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always-on-the-verge-of-death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone, up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard, so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan, additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.